We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you live by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran and from the holy city of Qum. And I am your regular and expert host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The program today is going to look on the topic of interfaith dialogue. We started it last week, but we'll go further into the details of interfaith dialogue as a tool and a communication to speak to people of other faiths. And we're going to look in particular at interfaith dialogue commonalities. But we'll do that after I express our deepest condolences from here on behalf of Sahar, the team here, on the condolences of the demise of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the martyrdom of Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, the second holy successor to the Holy Prophet, and of course, the eighth Imam, Imam Ali al-Ridha. May God's mercy and blessings be upon him and on his martyrdom as well. So we want to express our condolences and our grief on the loss of these three great personalities in Islam. And we are going to speak a little bit about them as well in terms of their martyrdom, in terms of their lives, of the messages that they left behind in terms of for our guidance. Of course, they were imams and they were there to guide us in terms of understanding the religion of Islam. So please stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. Since this is a live program, there will be numbers subtitled on the screen as well as an email. Please use them if you feel that you'd like to contribute or you'd like to make any comments or criticisms about the program or about anything that we discussed today on this particular topic of interfaith dialogue and commonalities. So please do take part. We'd love to hear from you. I'd like to introduce my guest in the studio, the expert that we had from last week on this very, very important topic, and that is Sheikh Dr. Amini, who is an expert in this field of interfaith dialogue. He does a lot of this work between Muslims and Christians, and of course, he's also an academic and a researcher and a renowned scholar, so I really have great pleasure in having you today on the show today. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I take refuge in God from Satan the Rejected. I say hello to you and to all my dear viewers all around the world who are watching us live from the Holy City of Qum, Sahar International Network. And I wanted to offer my deepest condolences over these three sad occasions for us all over the world. As you mentioned, the demise of the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the martyrdom of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, and Imam Ridha alayhi salam.
Sure.
And I'm at your service.
Thank you, Dr. Amini. Thank you for that. Now, as I say, before we go into the actual topic today, and we want to be a little, we talk about a little bit about the generalities about interfaith dialogue last week, and you used a very interesting concept about religious globalization. So I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that later in the program as well. But could you spend some time just mentioning about, you know, the martyrdom of these very two important imams and, of course, the demise of the Holy Prophet? And mention something about there are letters, I believe, or narrations from them regarding this very important topic that we are going to discuss today. So if you could mention something about that as well.
Yes, for sure. Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, talking about the demise and the departure of the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the 28th of Safar al-Muharram. Yes. And as a matter of fact, we're talking about martyrdom of the two other noble and immaculate imams. Of course, by themselves need another program to talk about them because the history, the biography of them to talk about, and the way they have lived their lives as the role model for all humanities.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They are not just limited or just we can say allocated to Muslims.
No.
Even they are universal because yes. the way of life they have spent there, as a matter of a role model, as a role model for us, was for all humanity because they have a stand on their nature and inner innate and instinct. No, humanity, human dignity, and this is not just a special to, as a matter of fact,
absolutely, because you know the
Muslims,
because of the concept that we have in Islam regarding these personalities is their infallibility, and mm-hmm. the fact that when we talk about infallibility, it's a totally different concept because we are talking about perfection, and these are perfect beings, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them and made them examples for all humanity. It's, and you're quite right, sir, that it's not a question that it's just simply for Muslims. It really is for humanity as a whole.
Actually, there is one beautiful narration. Mm-hmm. It has been mentioned
please,
from
please
many
yes.
infallibles that, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact, the Holy Prophet of Islam and his Ahlul Bayt, or the vicegerent and the offspring, are like the stars in the sky for those who have lost in the middle of the desert at night.
Yes,
if
yes.
they want to find their way mm-hmm. toward their destiny, they will have to look toward the stars, because the astronomers, they know how to find the way.
Mm-hmm.
It means, it denotes and implicitly talks that for those who know Ahlul Bayt, they can find their way, because if Dunya means Dani, means a very profane place, okay? Mm-hmm. If you want to get rid of this profane and dark place, this worldly thing, okay, it's better to look sometimes at the sky.
Exactly.
Not look at, always look
at
the
earth. And it's a very important point you mentioned, because of course the with the demise of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet also wanted to emphasize this point in his life, that the importance of his family, that they cannot be separate from the Quran because they are the living example of the Holy Quran. So.
Yes,
that's another important aspect.
Okay,
yes.
Even there are in other narrations, it is mentioned that they are talking Quran. If Quran, this Quran is called Samit or mute Quran.
Yes,
the other is talking Quran, which are Ahlul Bayt.
Yes,
because they are the true and real interpreters of Quran.
Yes.
They are those we can really rely on and trust and put our faith in them to find our real way.
Sure.
For sure, it is very long discussion. If one, it
no,
is
I
really
mean, that's a different topic, of course.
Exactly.
But the thing is that I just wanted to mention briefly about the Hadith Thaqalain, that this is a very,
exactly,
very important
yeah.
legacy of the Holy
yes.
Prophet, peace be upon him, in that regard. Now, in terms of our topic today, just as a brief summary of what we said last week, you mentioned about the aspect that in the West there's a lot of this anti-God.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude, if I can put it that way. It's an attitude. It's
yes.
not really something inherent in people, because, of course, there is huge conversion rates to the
mm-hmm.
fastest growing religion in the
mm-hmm.
world, which, of course, is Islam.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is this very cynical propaganda, this negative propaganda, even when we talk about Islamophobia,
mm-hmm.
for example, or whatever, that there is a way of trying to keep people away from religion. And you were talking about a very interesting concept last week about religious globalization. We hear about economic globalization,
mm.
but that we are seeing is becoming a catastrophe. There's a huge crisis in the world as far as that's concerned. But do you feel that that is something that comes out of this fact, of this the fact that we need this religious globalization even to set even these crises correctly?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the fact that because people have moved away from God, people are living lifestyles which are, as you mentioned, even satanic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's creating its own problems as far as loss of direction and loss of understanding what it means to be human. Because the main thing I was thinking about from interfaith dialogue is that the message of Islam has always been a message of love, a message of peace, and a message of toleration, like no other religion did before.
Exactly.
So I'll let you elaborate on these aspects.
Yes, for sure. No, the concept of religious globalization, as we mentioned in previous discussion, is very important, very
yes.
most talkative of subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Man is very forgetful by
yes.
nature.
Yes. Yes.
He always forgets what God has bestowed him or
her.
That's
right. That's true.
There is always one reminder that always says to this man, oh man, you are from God. You will return to God.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
This is not your eternal abode of place and accommodation.
Mm.
There's another eternal one. You will go back to that place. So do not waste your time on it. Okay. This place is very betrayal. This world, this world can be sometimes very betrayal. Betrays people if they cannot, if they are not insightful. The people of contemplation and admonition, they will enter into these, as a matter of fact, we can say dying place if they do not pay heed.
Yes.
So, because of this reason, God the Almighty has sent 124,000 prophets and messengers to always remind the people that people, you must be faithful to some creator, to some person which is above all. Okay? If not, you will be deviated. You will be entered into heterodoxies. You will be entered into heresies. As we witness nowadays, that people, why the people are going toward then the Satanism, Luciferism, they are looking forward to, as a matter of fact, to worship other than God, the atheists. This is because of that forgetfulness, negligence, compound ignorance.
Now this is a yes. important point I wanted to mention, that you mentioned this last week, and you know we're going to refer to this as a as one aspect of the importance of interfaith dialogue in terms of commonalities as well, that we are fighting modern jahiliya.
Modern jahiliya, modern ignorance.
Modern ignorance, yes, because this ignorance is the greatest enemy of man. It is ignorance which destroys nations and societies because we don't understand the other. And it's because of this lack of understanding that we have friction, we have war, we have tension, stress, many other things. Even we can't get on with our neighbor, you know? And these are the things, these are the values, the ethical, the moral values that we lose, that interfaith dialogue is not simply, oh, we just want to say hello, and it's nice that we are Muslim and you are Christian or Jewish or belonging to another faith. It's something far more deeper. It's about values, about shared values. So if you could elaborate on that.
For sure, no. Yes. Exactly. The interfaith dialogue is the dialogue, the hearts of the believers.
Yes.
As you mentioned, if you would have this golden triangle of love, respect, and tolerance, or peaceful coexistence, all the problems would be solved. But there are always some people do not like to reach to these goals because their benefits would be in danger and their dignity would be jeopardized.
That's true. They are very selfish people who don't want this, of course.
Because they know their food be cut, their money would. So we must be very vigilant about this perspective.
That's
because
right.
as I mentioned, as Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has mentioned in many occasions, that al-alamu bi zamanihi la tahjum alayhi al-lawabis, if a person knows his time in the best way, no dubiety, no misunderstanding would come to him. If a person can differentiate between the foes and friends, between the enemies and the real friend, he will not enter into ignorance again. The problem that we have is the hypocrisy sometimes in this world.
That's correct.
Those who are in reality our enemies are showing themselves as the friend, and they are, as a matter of fact, selling us down the river. And there are some groups that they are really our friend by the nature, but we are forgetful about them. That is exactly what we call them as the interfaith dialogue. By interfaith dialogue, we will enter into this scope that we will find our real friends in this world. Who are our best friends?
Exactly.
In face.
Sure. Okay? And we really mean that by the majority of people, and especially in today's modern age, there is, because of this lack of spirituality, this anti-God thing, people are rebelling against it. Even people are coming out and looking for a way to find a discipline, to find that true spirituality, that, as you pointed out before, that we are reminded constantly by the Creator that this is not our final abode, we are going to another one. And people, in their very nature, in their fitrah, are looking for this this communication. They're looking for this revelation.
Yes.
And of course, this is the platform on which we should be doing our duty as those who have the treasure of the final revelation of religion.
One of the best examples of the closeness and approximation of the hearts is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. We are talking about interfaith dialogue, and one of the vivid examples of the interfaith dialogue is the Holy Prophet himself. From the very beginning of the emergence of the Islam, the Holy Prophet was engaged with dialogue with the Christians of Najran, with the Jews, with everyone, okay?
Right.
He never rejected.
We are going away for a short break, Sheikh, but we'll carry on with that very important point because that'll be the introduction to the next part of our discussion. But viewers, please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Thanks.
The Holy Quran says, "Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good advice, and dispute with them in a manner that is best. Indeed, your Lord knows best those who stray from his way, and he knows best those who are guided." Surah Al-Nahl 125. The main aim of dialogue is knowledge. By knowledge, it means to know the other properly. What does he believe in and what does he practice? It also involves the sharing of ideas. If we can understand the other properly, we can then find what our common needs are in order to cooperate together. If we can understand each other properly, we can remove misunderstandings and prejudices. In interfaith dialogue, no one should impose their own views on the other. The objective is to inform. After that, everyone is responsible for making the right decision, whether to follow this religion or that religion. However, this is not the target or objective in dialogue. The real meaning of tabligh in Islam is not necessarily to convert others. Rather, tabligh is to ensure that the message of Islam reaches people. Then if people want, they can accept or they can refuse. We should make sure that we properly understand the other and help them understand us. Then there are certain challenges and threats that threaten us both as believers, and we can work together in this respect. Examples of these challenges include secularism, materialism, the collapse of the family, and losing youths. So there are real issues that we can cooperate together on. By reaching out to members of other religions, we have an opportunity to partake in the values of love and hospitality that are so central to the Abrahamic faiths. The Holy Quran invites all believers, including Christians and Jews, to unify their efforts and concentrate on common ground. One of the best means of achieving this unity is to know each other, to overcome historical prejudices that prevent the correct understanding of one another, and to build on commonalities.
Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. Dr. Amini, we were talking about, before the break, about the Holy Prophet's invitation to Islam. And I believe that you have several narrations, not only from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, but also from Imam al-Rida, the 8th Holy Successor to the Holy Prophet. Very important letters. Of course, the ones that we are familiar with in terms of history, or the history of Islam, is the one that the letter that was sent to the three emperors, the Emperor of Persia, the Emperor of Rome, and the Emperor of Alexandria in Egypt. And of course, they were all invited to come to Islam, and history tells us exactly what the responses were and what happened. But you're going to go into something much more elaborate than this, something much more deeper in terms of this interfaith dialogue, this dawah right from the beginning, to invite people to the truth, to invite them to this common platform of spirituality, of believing in one God, and of course, going on to another life. So please mention about this.
For sure, yes. As very nicely in this break, heard. It was very beautiful point. Historical misunderstandings and prejudices.
Yes, that's true.
Dogmatism.
Yes, dogmatism. That's right. Yes.
Historical prejudices is the worst enemy of all the nations.
Yes.
If you look at the Crusade Wars, if you look at the
absolutely
French Revolution, millions of people have been killed.
Yes.
This first and second world wars. Mm. Always, all of them are based on ignorance and misunderstandings. Okay, but today is the day of knowledge, gaining knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
The insight, as the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Imam Khamenei, has been mentioned,
sure.
We must be insightful about our time and age and place.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, one of the great mistakes and misunderstandings and historical prejudices is in regard with the prophets, especially the Holy Prophet of Islam.
Yes. Okay.
In many places, those who are not well-knowledged and well-known, they always say something which are not very well-documented and very based upon any evidences.
That's true.
But I have brought you one of the best evidences of dialogue by the Holy Prophet of Islam, which has been mentioned, as a matter of fact, to the which has been sent to the Saint Catherine in that time.
It was Saint Catherine Monastery at that time.
Monastery in that time.
Was that actually situated in Arabia? It was. Yes.
It was near to Arabia, as a matter of fact.
Right.
But there were a group of people, about 70 monks, abbots, and abbesses came to Holy Prophet.
Holy Prophet, yes.
And wanted to have dialogue with him.
Sure.
And the Holy Prophet of Islam has, as a matter of fact, said one of the most beautiful letters and wordings, which has been mentioned. If you look at this into the internet, you can find it very easily.
Sure.
Which has been mentioned in both Sunni narrations
and
Shia
narrations.
Okay,
right. Yes,
resources.
Please.
That it has been mentioned as a promise of Muhammad to all Christians in the world until the day of judgment.
So please elaborate on that, because I'm sure we don't know about
this. This letter is very important, which has been mentioned in Makatib al-Rasul by Ayatollah Ahmad Dimyanji in the volume 3, page 767,
right.
And in Muqaddamatun ila al-Hawar al-Islami wal-Masihi, which is written by Muhammad al-Sammak, in page 13.
Right.
It has been mentioned by the Holy Prophet of Islam and written by Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Medina, in the Mosque of Medina.
In the Mosque of Medina, right.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, this is the wordings of the Holy Prophet. This is a covenant from Muhammad bin Abdullah, to the Messenger of God, to all Christians.
Right.
I write this letter to be a proof after me, indicating that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. This is a covenant to all Christians in East and West, Arabs and non-Arab, known and unknown. Do not break this covenant, or it would be the violation from the covenant of God. Okay?
My goodness.
This covenant, which is about in regard to Christians, is parallel and juxtaposed with the allegiance to God, as a matter of fact.
My goodness.
Do not break this covenant, or it would be a violation from the covenant of God and mockery to the allegiance of God. If you break it, you will be cursed by Him, God the Almighty. No difference that you are a governor, a believer, or a Muslim. All the rights which belong to me, my people, and my relatives are alike to Christians. Yes? They are my citizens and the people of them. People of them. People of them are those who, by giving some, you know, taxations or some...
The me, as we call it. Yes, that's right. Yes.
No, people of them, as we call it. They stay in... those who are non-Muslim stay in
that's
Muslim
correct.
Countries.
Yes,
okay?
Of course.
We prohibit any kind of bothering and annoying them. Okay? No bishop is enforced to discard his episcopal position. No monk is need to abandon his position. Because they came to Holy Prophet to seek protection from the Holy Prophet. And
yes.
Prophet said, until when you are not open enemies to us, you are with us, your hearts are with us, okay, there is no need to abandon yourself, stay. Look, this is one of the best methods of dialogue. Islam, as it was mentioned in the beautiful break.
Correct, yes.
Our duty is da'wah,
yes.
calling,
invitation.
God. Showing the beauties of Islam,
yes.
What is the reality of Islam, we cannot enforce people.
Mm.
This is one of the misunderstandings that they say Islam enforcing. No, like Rafiddin, there is no compulsion in religion.
There's no force in religion.
There is no force. Mm. Islam says that this is I am.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, you can come to me.
Sure.
So Prophet of Islam says, I am telling to you the beauties of Islam.
Right.
If you accept, you're most welcome. If not, okay. stand in your position, okay? Mm-hmm. We cannot enforce you.
Right.
Although Islam is the seal of the Islam is the seal of the religions, and Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, but we cannot again enforce you.
As a student of history, I mean, I have to point out to viewers that history bears witness to the fact that in the Roman Empire and many other empires across the world at that time, in the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, toleration, mm-hmm. moderation, mm-hmm. were unheard of.
Exactly.
There was extreme cruelty. Mm-hmm. If you were against the emperor or against the king of your time, you could expect to be executed.
You will vanish into thin air, or
fed to the lions. Mm-hmm. And this is what was happening to many Christians, even in the Roman Empire, much later on, although I'm speaking about an earlier time. But that's what used to happen. I mean, if you had an ideology or anything that was contrary to what was prevalent in those places, there was extreme persecution. And this is why we want to point out to the fact that when they heard about Islam and they heard about this toleration, about this mercy of the Holy Prophet, and as he points out, he does these covenants of brotherhood, of giving rights to people, of raising the slave and making him equal to his master, and so on and so forth. And then when the Christians found that we don't need to abandon anything, we can still stick to our belief, our church, and live in peace with these new Abrahamic messengers, if you like, these new followers.
We have one patriarch, we have one parent.
Yeah, because Abraham. He just simply says that just accept the rule of one God.
Submission.
Submission
Islam,
to one God.
Islam means submission to the rule of God.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. In one beautiful verse, we have that Abraham was not a Christian, not a Jew. He was a Muslim.
Yes.
What does mean Muslim?
He submitted only to the one God.
Yes. Submission to one God.
Yes.
So in Ayatollah Makarem in Tafsir Nemune, if you refer to interpretation of this verse, mentions in one sense all of the religions are Islam.
They are. They're all messages of peace.
The core and the pivotal pillar of all religions is belief in God. Of course, we talk about the commonalities. We can point
out. Sure, please.
So those who are in monastery can stay there. And those who are in trip can come back. There is no fear. Come back.
Very nice.
No church and no business place or marketing place of the Christians must be destroyed. No place. And no property confiscated.
Very nice.
Or use in building and mosques. You cannot destroy their churches. You cannot destroy their houses.
In order to build another house of worship. No, that's not allowed.
Not allowed at all. And if one violated, had certainly broken God's covenant and stood against the Holy Prophet of Islam. First time, it is the break of the covenant of God if you destroy. Second time, that if you break this is a mockery of the religion of God, okay? Look how Prophet of Islam has respected the other religions, okay? Yes. In the verse of 285, that we each day we recited after our prayers that Alhamdulillah na shaitan rajim, Amana Rasulullah wa unzila ilayhi min rabbi wal mu'min, kul ma'amala billahi wa malakati wa rasulihi, la nufarigu bayna ahdi min rasulihi, we do not differentiate or distinguish or we do not segregate any other segregation, discriminate any other prophets. We all believe in our prayer and ex-prophets, okay?
I'd like to quote one verse from the Quran because this letter reminds me of this verse immediately from the Quran where it says that if God had not restrained one party against another by the means of another, meaning the oppressors by the oppressed,
the mosques and the monasteries,
the cloisters, and the synagogues in places where people often go to worship
and say Allah's name.
And say Allah's name would totally be destroyed.
This is one of the verses.
And this proves this, that already the Holy Prophet is not only the defender of the faith, as we use these terms in English, in terms of the faith of Islam,
exactly.
But he's in terms of the defender of all faiths, of all religions, that their sanctity, their sacredness, their belief must be upheld and defended by those who believe in the one God.
It is like graduating in a university.
Yes.
First you go to BA and then MA and PhD.
Yes.
You cannot haphazardly go to PhD. You must.
Yes, you must go through the
so
stages.
The religious lineage was the same.
Yes.
BA.
That's right. MA. That's why they refer to it as Abrahamic faith.
Exactly, Abrahamic faith.
Yeah.
So when there's a PhD, there's no need to go back again to MA.
this is one of the points.
Okay, yeah. I want this is my point. But those who are in monastery, they can stay.
Sure.
And we do not want any ransom, jizya. We do not need any ransom, jizya,
very
or reparation from monks and bishops.
Very nice.
This is one of the other respects of the Holy Prophet to the hierarchy.
Yeah, to the actual priests themselves.
To the ranking.
Yes.
No, the Holy Prophet or something was very, no, he was the symbol and the sign of wisdom. He says, I do not even among themselves, among the Christians, I do not, for example, put all of them in one place. There are some hierarchies.
Of course.
The ordinary people must give, for example, jizya, but from the monks and bishops and the heads and the religious leaders, even they do not, there's no need that they give this.
Right.
Whatever they, wherever they are under my support.
Mm.
Because in that time, Islam was really extending very fastly to all places. So there is no, compared to the time of the, as a matter of fact, to the time of the, as a matter of fact, modern age.
Sure.
If you are not with them, you are against them.
I mean, these are the things that we must elaborate on, especially in the modern day, in the day that we are speaking about now, that in terms of taking this really right out of the book, right out of the scripture, that these are the values that we are losing day by day because of the fact that even, unfortunately, even Muslims have strayed away from this covenant, this message on which we based our tolerance right from the beginning, in terms of the fact that we are bringing unity amongst humanity, unity amongst the people, through love and peace and respect of each other's faith and culture.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is so badly needed, as you said, in this culture of last week, you know, that all this historical misunderstanding and
prejudice,
even prejudice, it's deliberate prejudice. I mean, what are we talking when we say Islamophobia?
Yeah.
This is prejudice coming from the oppressors, from those imperial powers who don't see it in their interest to see a religion like Islam to become prevalent in the world.
Exactly. You know, this is like the light of the sun. It is completely shining on theirs. It is as brilliant as that.
No, yes,
we
absolutely
must just keep our eyes open. Let me go
please,
down to
please,
the end.
Please.
As a matter of fact, wherever they are under my support, in the desert, faraway land, in east or west, in north or south, they are under my covenant and promise, and all devils is away from them. Anyone from them who are in mountains or holy places worshipping God are under my support. There is no tax or zakat for their corpse and harvest.
Right.
Do not dispute them, but with good polemics.
Okay, stop at that point, Sheikh, because the good polemics is going to be the next basis of this interfaith commonalities, because that is very important.
Exactly.
But we are going away for a short break. Viewers, we'll be right back. Thanks. Thanks very much, viewers, for staying with us. As I say, I'd like to remind you that there will be numbers and an email on the subtitled on the screen. Please use them, and we very much welcome any comments or criticisms you have about the program. Dr. Sheikh Habini, very nicely you have brought us to the stage where we're talking about eloquent language, speak in the best manner, the best etiquettes in terms of our polemics with, especially with the people of the book, especially with our Jewish brethren and our Christian brethren. Because, as you said, they are all part of one message, one light.
Different colors of
different
one
colors
rainbow.
Of a rainbow, that's right. The rainbow is the same, the white light is the same, but it has so many different spectrums. Absolutely right. So please elaborate further now in terms of this commonality of interfaith dialogue as the basis of, because the Quran commands us that we must use the best methods possible mm-hmm. in persuading people to come to one agreement in the worship of one God.
Exactly, yes. If you agree to put an end to the sayings of the Holy Prophet, that letter, and after that I will go.
Yes,
there,
please.
There are just some lines remaining.
Yes.
And after that I will go to the point you mentioned very nicely about the commonalities.
Yes.
Commonalities are very important because are the basis of our agreements. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will talk about them, and it is really.
Yes, of course.
So
of course.
The polemics, we are stopping the polemics. Mm-hmm. And again here, whoever violates this covenant and acts against it undoubtedly has violated the covenant of God. It is the third time. In addition to that,
yes, that's right.
And till this world is alive, must not violate it, this covenant, till the end of the world.
Right. Very
Until
important.
Until the end of the world, no one must violate this. This is why. Because we are Muslims, the people of the like, this is the our order of our Prophet. We cannot violate the sayings of the world. Because if we violate this covenant, look, there are many reasons of the dialogue among Muslims and Christians in detail. Of course, we are talking about interfaith.
I just wanted to point out to viewers that the seriousness and the gravity of this covenant is clear. It's not only that we don't violate any of the rights and the citizens and religious rights that the Holy Prophet has given to our Christian brethren, but if we do violate them, we ourselves will be cursed on the Day of Judgment.
Exactly.
And therefore, to stick to the teaching and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet is absolutely compulsory.
Because of that, it has been mentioned, it is a kind of self-mockery.
It is a self-mockery, of course it is.
It is a self-mockery. So this was the letter of the Holy Prophet of Islam to that monastery and to that Catholic
time. Now, okay. I believe you wanted to mention something from the 8th Imam as well, very
quickly. If you let me, very shortly, because today is the martyrdom of Imam Rizal, alayhi salam.
Minutes left.
I will very say briefly, but it's very beautiful.
Yes.
One time, the discussion of Imam Rizal alayhi salam with Catholics and with the Jews of his time, in addition to the Manis in that time, with Zoroastrians and with Sabi'in, the worshippers of the stars, there are many groups who came to Imam Rizal alayhi salam, who we are today in his martyrdom anniversary.
Sure.
One of the Jews in that time, which was called Ash'iya, had talked about Prophet Muhammad. How can you prove that Prophet Muhammad was existed from Imam Rizal alayhi salam.
Right.
Imam Rizal alayhi salam means, is it a good? Will you believe if I bring some evidences from your books? They said for sure. If you, he said, Imam Rizal alayhi salam, that do you know Isaiah, the book of Isaiah?
Isaiah.
In that the book of Isaiah, it has been mentioned that Isaiah says, I see two lightful faces are coming toward me, okay? Mm-hmm. One of them is riding donkey and the other is riding camel. The one, do you know what is the interpretation of this verse?
Right, he asked him, yes.
He said, if you interpret, Imam Rizal alayhi salam said, the person who was riding the donkey is Jesus the Christ, because it is very famous.
Yes.
And the person who was, that lightful person was riding the camel was the Holy Prophet of Islam.
Of course.
Okay. And in the continuation, Imam Rizal alayhi salam says that, let me bring one example of your book, which is mentioned, as a matter of fact, in John chapter 14, verse number 16.
Right.
That, and I will ask the Father.
I will ask the Father to give
you another helper that he may be with you. Another helper. Who is this another helper?
According to
the interpretation and according to the book of Barnaba, it has meant this helper is Parakletos. And who is this Parakletos? Is Fargalita. Who is Fargalita? Is Prophet Muhammad. Fargalita means the differentiating
between truth and falsehood.
False.
Right.
Fargalita is very important. Right. And even we have the same chapter with Jalut, Rasul Jalut, or Exilarch, that he would mention that Imam Rizal alayhi salam talked to Rasul Jalut, who was a Jew head. He said, And you, Rasul Jared, let me bring some evidences from Torah to you. That do you know who is the in Torah is mentioned? There are three lights coming, one from the Mount of Sinai, Mount of Sa'ir, and Mount of Faran.
Faran, yes.
The Mount of Sinai. And Imam Raza alayhi salam said, do you know the interpretation? He said, I have heard this verse, but I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
He said,
yes.
Let me interpret. Mm. Imam Raza alayhi salam mentioned, a Shia, yes. Muslim interprets the wordings of the
their
Torah.
Books, yes, of the Torah.
Okay. The light coming from the, as a matter of fact, Mount of Sinai is Moses.
Moses.
The light coming from Sa'ir. Is
the light
Jesus,
of Jesus,
because it was a place that even Abraham and Hajar in that time was
yes,
living
in
and
Jerusalem. Yes.
And the Mount of Faran is Khare, or the Cave of Hera.
Hera in Mecca.
Hera, Faran. It is a very similar.
Yes.
It is one of the mountains near to the Mecca, to the exactly near to Kaaba. Okay.
Right.
So these are even from the evidences from their books.
From
so
the Holy Scripture. That
so what yeah. commonality exists here?
Exactly.
Exactly. As in Quran, we have some proofs.
Even from the previous scriptures and revelations.
For the determination, uh-huh. even from the previous
of the message
scriptures.
Of Islam,
but
yes.
Sometimes, day in day out, sometimes some heresies and innovations have been entered into
of
the
course,
books. Okay.
Of course.
But in regard with commonalities, which is one of the very important
sure.
points that
inshallah
we can...
I just want to point out, Sheikh, that
how many times
we've only got one or 2 minutes left. So 2 minutes left. So briefly, just to summarize what we've said in this session, and
so
hopefully in the next session we'll try to elaborate further on the commonality.
Of course, you know, this was worthy to mention these two narrations, these
of
two stories,
they were.
Because
I mean, very, very
these
important.
Are very
yes.
highlighting our
yes.
discussion.
Yes.
Because we are talking just about, no,
because we want to make it clear to the viewers that Islam is the religion of peace and toleration, even in a time in the 7th and 8th century when this was unheard of.
Unheard of, exactly. You maybe our dear viewers would haven't heard of these evidences.
No, I would think so. I
exactly.
have. It was very new to me as well.
Even some Muslims do not know these
yes,
evidences.
Exactly.
These books.
And I thank them, you for it.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me. It needs really a big
I
amount of discussion. Talk
right,
about
right.
these letters, even to the emperors and that time.
Sure.
So, in summary and in brief, we talked in this session. That as a, actually about the religious globalization, that if we want to be in peaceful coexistence, if we want to be, if we want to reach to that utopic world that is promised to all of the humanity, we need to respect three angles of one golden triangle. One angle is love, one angle is respect, and the other, as a matter of fact, angle is tolerance, or. We have to tolerate sometimes the negative voices.
Well, Sheikh Dr. Meini, I have to stop you there. I'm sorry we've run out of time. But we hope to continue this very, very interesting debate in another session. And I hope we will have you.
Thank
yeah,
you
I hope we will have you for that.
Thank
but
you,
thanks a lot for today. Really,
thank
it's
you
been
to
very,
all
very
you
great,
thank
very
you,
interesting. And viewers, I hope you very much enjoyed what we've discussed today in terms of interfaith dialogue commonalities. But we will be carrying on, hopefully, on this topic in another session next week. It leaves me only to say, wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you very much for watching, and goodbye.